minister two things this morning. It's that I've come about with just our prayer time and our worship time, our worship in song. And one is the passage that was highlighted by Forrest, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. I'm just going to turn there and read it once again. I'll start from 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The part that I want to really highlight is we are ambassadors. And we are ministers of Christ. In other parts of the scripture, it talks about how we are his body and Christ himself is the head. 1 Corinthians talks about how we all are different parts of the same body and we've all been given different gifts. And I want to highlight that we are called to be God's ambassadors to each other and to the world around us. We are his ministers. One of the things that happened in the church has happened over the years and centuries is this idea that those who are the pastors or the in the old, like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the priests and all that in the church, the deacons, the elders, they're the only ones who can minister. And this is just an out-and-out lie. One reason I love when we pray together and seeing us pray for each other is just seeing us minister to each other. And one of the things I love about us sharing is seeing and hearing about how God has ministered through us. You are Christ's ambassador. You belong to him, and he wants to work through you. You are a part of his body. You are not the whole body. You don't have to do everything, but you are part of the body, and you are called to do things in his name. Or more than that, even as we were talking about this knowing that you know that you know, it really is, and I think about those times, and often for me, it's only happened a few times in praying for healing in that. But more than that, it happens as I'm preaching and teaching and counseling one-on-one, where it's like the Spirit of God comes down, and obviously the logistics of it is he's always with us. He's living in me 100% of the time. But for lack of a better way to put it, it's like he comes down, takes hold of me, and just starts pouring through, and it's him. And so when I was praying for Jill on the way to the hospital that one time, just pouring through my prayers, it wasn't even me praying so much as it was him praying through me. Yes, I was in agreement with him, and yes, I had choices to make, but it's this embrace with God. And often when I'm teaching or preaching or counseling one-on-one, it's like this power flowing through, and all I have to do is agree with him and just keep in step with him, and he'll minister through me that way. And so too with you, with all of us, where we seek to be people where we will be his ambassadors and he will just pour through us. He will shine through us. He will speak his words through us. And we don't need to be afraid of what we're going to say or how we're going to do things. We keep our eyes focused on him, and we allow him to pour his his ministry through us, and it's uniquely through each of us. You have different gifts than I do. I have different gifts than you do. You have a different personality than I do. I have a different personality than you do. It will look different, but it will look like God. It will be him ministering through us. And we all are ambassadors. Each one of us. Each one of us. And so whether it's going to evangelize in Old Town, and that will even look different for each of us, or if it's at the grocery store, or if it's on the blog. Craig and I were talking about, you know, Morgan's blogs, and we've got to put them on the website, and just how that gift of teaching is rising up in her, and just hearing different things and different how God works through each of us. We are God's ambassadors. And where we seek to just walk with him, allow him to carry you, allow him to move in you. He already has the words. He already has the plan. He already has everything worked out. What he needs, and I put needs in a quotation mark because I don't like using the word need with God. God doesn't need anything. And yet he has chosen. He has chosen to use vessels for most of his work. That's us. And so you are a minister of God's reconciliation. You are a minister of God's truth. You are a minister of God's forgiveness. You are a minister of God's power. And so whether it's praying for each other as we have birthdays, or praying for the sick, or praying for the hurting, hearing about needs in the body, hearing about needs in the region around us, speaking words of truth, standing up for him and saying, no, God is a God of mercy, and speaking those words of truth, we are those ministers. And to be ready to minister at all times. You know, and as we are worshiping, that the three themes, almost the three times of prayer, first for Judy, then for Craig, then for Tyler, just came forward. They almost like it was a prophetic thing for all of us. We're all called to shine and have God's grace shine on us and then through us. We're all called to that. We're all called to be ferocious and bold in our own way and yet gentle. We're all called to be ministers in that way, but to allow God to just move in us. We're all called to that straight line. We're all called to wisdom and godly decision-making and godly moving forward. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. And so wherever we go, may we be faithful to the calling that's on our lives. You are an ambassador of Christ. I've shared it before, shared again. One of the things that God has had on my heart for as long as I can remember is I long to see everyone become who God has created them to be. That you would walk in everything that he has for you. Church is not a spectator sport. The body of Christ is not for spectators. We are all participants. I am only one part of the body. And I want to speak against that lie that's in the church, that has been in the church for... I think it's changing now. Like, not just here, but I think in the church, it's changing. But for the longest time, it used to be this idea of, no, only a few minister and the rest of us just listen. Yes, this is part of my ministry, teaching and the encouraging and the counseling and all that, but that's just my part. And others of you have similar, actually, in that even. We were talking about one day maybe an adult Sunday school, and there might be a certain teacher called to do adult Sunday school. You know, you never know when that's going to happen. But we are all called to be ambassadors, filled with his boldness, filled with his courage, filled with his gentleness. I love that reminder about, you know, that Bill shared that I forget his name.
Nabil.
I was going to say Nabeshi. Nabil shared where, like, as we share with truth and all that, it needs to be undergirded with love and gentleness and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be evidence in all of us. But the giftings of the Spirit will be unique to each of us. Your gifting won't be my gifting. Your calling won't be my calling. But may we go out in boldness and in courage, being the ambassadors. The second thing I want to minister this morning, Megan mentioned it in prayer, and I don't know if this is exactly how you mentioned it, but man, like, I was going to speak to it then, but then I got this idea that, no, God's going to have me speak on it now. And for a while now, I don't know, a few years, a little bit longer than that, I've been praying for the church. I mean, I've been praying for the church longer than that, but this specific prayer, I've been praying for the church, and that there would be a distinction. Like, there would be this distinction between God's people and the world. And that the way God moves, it was as she was praying for the people in the path of the hurricane, that there would be a distinction, that there would that God's people who are crying out right now for protection would be protected in a supernatural way. And not that we don't want protection for non-believers, we do. And yet often when God sends something like this, it's to get their attention. It's to shake up their world to cause them to look to Christ. And so as I've been praying this over the last few years, that there would be a distinction in the body of Christ, I would always go back to Exodus and the plagues and the Israelites in Goshen. And you have the first few plagues. It's in Exodus, it starts in Exodus chapter, I think, 7, the plagues do. And for the first few plagues, the plagues affected everyone. Okay, so you had the blood, the plague of the blood. And it seemed to affect everyone. Obviously, everyone needed the Nile. And then not just the Nile, but the wells filled with blood and that. And it affected everyone. And then you move on to the frogs, and everyone was affected by the frogs, it seemed. And then you have the parable of the gnats, and everyone was affected. So for the first three plagues, everyone was affected, Egyptian and Israelite alike, Goshen and the rest of Egypt, so everyone. But then, the plague of the flies. And in verse 22, it reads, "But on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow." So, I will make a distinction. It says, a little note at the bottom of my Bible says, the Hebrew will say, "I will put a deliverance between my people and your people." So I'll deliver my people, but I won't deliver your people. And then it goes on. The next plague, the plague of livestock, 9 verse 4. "But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die." The plague of the boils, it just talks about the boils affecting the Egyptians. The plague of hail, 9:26, the only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Then you have the plague of the locusts, 10:23, or so, the plague of the locusts, it doesn't talk about it specifically. It talks about the land of Egypt being affected. It doesn't mention the Israelites being affected, but it doesn't make a specific distinction there. But I believe that there still was a distinction. Then you have the plague of darkness in 10:23. It says, no one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days because of the darkness. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. And then, of course, the plague of the firstborn. And we know that because the blood was put on the doorposts and the headboard of the doors, the angel of death, the one who was bringing this plague of death to the firstborn, would pass over. And that's where you have the Passover from. But this idea that we would be set apart, because when a hurricane comes like this or a disaster, I pray for safety. I pray, Lord, may the hurricane go out to sea and just dissipate, or like Larry was praying, may the winds just all of a sudden die down. You know, I got this picture. We've all seen the pictures on TV of this radar, right? And we see the big swirl of the hurricane, and there's like white in the middle, and then red, and then orange, and then yellow, and then like it all is measuring the wind speed and the absolute like the craziness of the storm, if you will. I just see as you're sharing that, all of a sudden on the radar, just everything going blue. And just normal. Just, and gone. But you know what? My prayer, even as I pray for that, my prayer would be like, Lord, do it in such a way where people know it's you. Because what good is it if the storm dissipates and people don't know it was God? Yes, there'd be, you know, less loss of life and less loss of property, and people would be safe and like, yay, you know, we can go about our day now, we can go about our business. But what good is it if there's no distinction that points towards Christ, points towards Jesus, points towards God Almighty? So too with our lives. I pray that there would be such a distinction that people would turn to Christ. So I'm not talking about his distinction so that we can be prosperous. This is not the prosperity gospel. You guys know we don't preach that here. We know that our prosperity, so to speak, the big problem with the prosperity gospel is they get the timing wrong. Prosperity is to come. It's not yet. They're taking hold of promises that are really for the future, not for quite yet. We're still in this age, if you will, of laying down our lives, carrying our cross daily to follow Jesus, sacrificing our lives for people. That's the age that we're in. That's what we're called to. But I pray that there would be a distinction. And even as I think about this and the prayer that we prayed for Craig and this gentle giant that Larry has talked about, and the last few times Larry and I have been together, I'm gonna share a little bit. But I'm sure Craig knows, and it's nothing bad. But just this, and I'm going to... You've got to make sure, you know, the dinosaur, little dinosaur, and someone said, are you saying he has a big head then? You know, make sure you don't get a big head here. You know? But, you know, your dad was bragging on you a little bit in a holy way. Because, it's a crazy time of life for you. It's a crazy season this time of year all the time. And the people that you work with notice how you handle it well. I pray that that would be a distinction in all of our lives. Where when we're going through craziness, we're going through rough times, that we handle it in peace. And that the Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, may your gentleness be evident towards all. May your gentleness be evident to everyone. I pray that there would be such a distinction in the church that people come to us and say, okay, what's up? Like, How do you do this? How do you walk through this? And even in other things, not getting sick and not having things collapse around us, even in the physical realm, that people would come to us and say, how is this happening? And then we point to Jesus, because remember, we're ambassadors. We point to the kingdom of God. We point to salvation in Christ alone. We point to Yahweh. We point to God, that there would be such a distinction. And so if we could join together in prayer, you could add this to your prayer list, and because I really believe this prayer that's been on my heart for a few years now is from God, that there would be more and more distinction between the Spirit-filled believer, okay? So not just all believers either, because I think some believers who are just staying in their adolescence, staying in their babyhood, you know, there are many people who are saved, but who are worldly and are mere infants in Christ, and they've been infants in Christ for 30, 40 years, you know, or whatever. I pray that there would be a distinction there as well, that those who are young in Christ, I don't mean just they've been saved for only a few years, but acting young in Christ, even though they may have known Christ for many years, they would see a distinction and it would spur them to grow up, to become everything that they're meant to be. This is all meant, like my heart in this, I hope you see this, is for people to be drawn closer to Christ, whether it's non-believer or believer, but that there would be a distinction. And I think there is, like, but I think there is already, I think through some of the stories that have been shared, through our sharing together, people see a distinction in many of you, okay? And it's good. I pray more so. I pray more so and more so that people would see Christ in our lives. And they would come to us and say, what is going on? I would ask that you join in that prayer. Not just for us, but again, for all Spirit-filled believers who are following Christ with all their heart, that there would be a distinction in their lives so that others would come and ask. And then we can carry out that call that we have on our lives to be ambassadors for Jesus. And just say, well, let me share you about the kingdom I'm a part of. Let me share with you, you know, why I have this hope. Why are you so filled with hope? Oh, let me tell you why I'm so filled with hope. How can you be so at peace when the world's falling apart around you? Oh, let me tell you about my source of peace. How can you be so filled with joy when things in your life are so hurting? Oh, let me tell you about my source of joy. Why don't you throw your hands up in the air and just scream and yell and get angry at everyone like so many other people do when we're in this busy season? Oh, let me tell you my source. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about Jesus. I pray that there would be a distinction. And as tribulation starts, you know, or continues. And I don't just mean the tribulation that talks in the Bible. Yes, I believe we're close. Not yet, but close. And I could be wrong. Many people have been wrong in the past, and that's okay. But I'm even talking about just the tribulations that have happened from the beginning of the church. May we be filled in such a way where we are so different. May people see that we're odd, but in a good way. May they be curious. May they be filled with curiosity as to what they see in us. May they come asking. May we be ambassadors for Him, and may there be a distinction between us and the world, us and nominal Christianity as well. Are there any questions or comments on this? Our lives are supposed to be lived in such a way where they stand out. And you know what? We've talked about before, the world is getting darker and darker. In some ways, we should be so thankful for that fact. Because the light shines all the more clearly when it's dark. You know, you look out, we've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. You look out on a sunny day like today, and you light a candle out in the middle of the parking lot, no one will notice. No one will notice, because it's so bright out. No one will notice unless they come right up to you. But you go into the same parking lot at midnight. Now, right now, we just had a full moon a few days ago, so it would still be, oh, it's kind of light out, but I see that candle. But as the moon wanes, and we get to that point of the new moon, and it gets darker and darker before the new moon comes, right? And on that night, that one night where there is no moon, man, that candle shines really bright. we should be relishing the fact that the world is getting darker. Not thankful as in, yay, people are in sin more. It's awful. It should break our heart. But you know what? We get to shine brighter. Yeah?
I think it's exciting, actually, that we have opportunity to live your life and live it through the Lord, and that the people will recognize that.
Amen.
That we have opportunity to, add our little piece.
Yep.
Whatever that is, you listen, and actually I was talking with Julie in some other opportunities that she has, and there's been just subtle moments where you can give a word, and that's enough. You don't need to do anything else. That's what you're called to do. And I find it kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is very.
Yeah.
Yep. So I would encourage you. I'm gonna give you a prayer. Okay, that you can add to your prayer list. Right? It goes like this: Lord, I want my life to be more and more set apart and distinct. I want it to be more and more of a contrast to what's going on in the world. And then the scary part of that prayer, if you're willing, is, Lord, do what it takes. Do whatever it takes to make my life more and more of a contrast to the darkness. Bring your light. I want the light to shine in me more and more. More and more richly, more and more deeply, more and more brightly. May there be a distinction. May there be such a distinction. This is where I pray too, the gifts would start really shining forward, that when God's people pray for things, that it would happen. And I don't understand why when we've prayed for some people, God has withheld the healing. And if Nabil dies, so many people are praying for him, and he loves Jesus so much, and he's been used by God so much. But God is God. But I pray for that. I pray more and more that a time will come that when God's people pray, it will happen. When we pray for mountains to be thrown into the sea, the mountains will be thrown into the sea. When God's people pray for the storms to cease, that the storms will cease, and not just metaphorical storms, but actual physical storms. Metaphorical ones too. These storms in people's lives, absolutely. And so I would ask you to continue to pray that God would just pour himself out in this way, because I believe that it will be such a witness to the world around us. Almost like it reminds me of Jesus' ministry, and he would say to the people, if you're not going to believe my words, at least believe the signs and the miracles. Like, if you're not going to listen to what I say, at least take a peek at what I'm doing and believe because of those things. And I pray that there would be a distinction. But that means us stepping out as well. Continue to ask. Continue to take risks. Continue to open your mouth in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, and share the gospel. Continue to pray for people's healing. Continue to ask how people are doing and what they're going through, and continue to just pour out love and care. Any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that we do not mourn as those who have no hope.
Absolutely.
But that is risen from the dead, and I'm thinking that in Revelation 3:10 to the Church of Philadelphia, he says that it's a blessing for those who die.
Absolutely.
Who die in the Lord. And it says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth.
Yeah.
And also Daniel 1 says, and then he said, blessed are those who die in the Lord. No, not going to say. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, yes. But they may rest from their labors in the Lord's home. And that prosperity gospel. Our great life is in the age to come.
Absolutely. That's where our prosperity comes. Reminds me of another verse. There's another verse about where people don't understand. Like, total paraphrase here. I don't have it memorized whatsoever. But, like, God, like, they're asking God about, yeah, people dying. And he says it's to save them from the trials. It's to rescue them from some of the trials and the stuff that's coming. So definitely, we don't want to look at healing and all of that, the way the world would look at it. The way I look at it is, you know, when praying for different people, or, you know, the Jansons, for instance, I think about their family and the little girls. But even there, God has it taken care of. But again, we pray against sickness, because sickness is ultimately in the world because of sin. And we pray against, you know, we pray against sickness, we pray against death. Death is the enemy. Even though for us, death ushers us into the presence of God, death is the enemy. You know, and eventually death itself will be thrown into the lake of fire. We pray these things out of compassion for people, just like Jesus did. He had compassion and he prayed for healing. Pray it to see people set free. Think about demon possession and that kind of stuff. We pray it to see people set free. And ultimately, the reason we pray it is that it brings glory to God, and that people would see Jesus. People would see Jesus. Now let me pray that. So Lord, we pray these things. We thank you for the calling that you've placed on our lives, that we are ambassadors. And Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to have you work through us and minister through us and preach through us and heal through us. And Lord, rescue people from the fire through us. I want to see people saved, and I know that that's your heart too. And so, Lord, we pray that there would be such a distinction. There would be a distinction between your people and people who are living for the world. Just like there was a distinction between your people, Israel, and the Egyptians. I pray that there would be a distinction. Not for our own health and prosperity and ease, Lord God. That's not why we're asking. That's not why I'm asking. You know that. I pray for the distinction so that people would take notice, so that they would wake up and come to their senses, that they would bow the knee, that they would surrender to you. That's why I'm praying this, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Pray this in your name. Amen.